Let's open our Bibles here today to the book of 2 Timothy. We're going to go to chapter 4, and I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And God's word says this: "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge: preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction." Let's pray. Father, today I pray for this message. I pray that as we start a new year here in 2017, that we can all be encouraged by your word, that your word will transform lives, that your word will take us as the people here at Beech Grove into a greater and stronger relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what your word does. It transforms people from the inside out. So to you be all the praise and glory for what we are going to be receiving from you this year. Thank you for being such a good God. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today, we kick off a new year in the life of our church here at Beech Grove. This morning, I want to give a State of the Union address, or in this case, a State of the Church address. I want to bring everyone up to speed where our church has been over the past 10 years, and where we are going in the future. First, Beech Grove Christian Church is a Protestant church. This church was once affiliated with the Disciples of Christ denomination, but we defected from that denomination around the year 2005 under the guidance of a former pastor, Pastor Ernie Love. Why the move? Why the defection? It was due to the liberal theology of the Disciples of Christ denomination. And may I remind you that there is no place for liberalism or postmodern thinking in the church today. And you have heard me preach on that topic before. But when a denomination fails to take a stand on certain foundational biblical issues, such as Jesus Christ being the only way, heaven, hell, the virgin birth, and other issues such as abortion and homosexuality, then it is time to move on. And that's exactly what this church did. We are not affiliated with any Protestant denomination. We are non-denominational. And that is good in the fact that we do not follow the doctrinal statements of a hierarchy, nor do we have to pay any apportionments to a denominational hierarchy. Those are the good points, but being non-denominational can also be bad in the fact that the teaching and the theology can go to any extreme with virtually no sense of checks and balances, except for what you, the congregation, brings to my attention. But in my 9+ years here, that has never been the case. We are completely autonomous. Any tithes and offerings we receive here stay here, and we distribute them as needed. This building and grounds are all paid for, and they are all in very good condition. We have money in the bank. We pay all our bills on time. This church does not owe anyone anything. We are financially stable. I love this church. Good things happen here. There are good people here. We may be few, but we are blessed. And because we are few, we do not have the resources to do a wide variety of ministries like a larger church can. But that's okay. We do not, and we will not, offer everything to everybody. But that's not who we are. But what we do offer, we do well. And what has been our main ministry here at Beech Grove Church? The ministry of giving. Beech Grove Christian Church is a very generous church. Over the years, we have and we will continue to give financially to organizations such as Samaritan's Purse, Hunters for the Hungry, the Gideon's International, Nelson County Food Pantry, God's Pit Crew, Feed the Children, Comfort Care Women's Health, and many, many individuals who need assistance with paying bills, going on mission trips, and we even purchased a car for a needy family. We give because we understand that it is more blessed to give than to receive. We give because we understand that you reap what you sow. And for some reason, we always seem to have more money than what we take in. I don't understand God's mathematics, but I understand his biblical principles. And I don't ever want this church to cease being a generous church. And another big thing, great thing that we have to offer is you. It is you who makes visitors feel welcome. It is you who prays for others. It is you who encourages those who need encouragement. But the best thing that I see is this. No one in here feels that they are any better than the next person. There's no cliques. There's no social circles. You are a body of believers who show up on a Sunday morning to worship God in spirit and in truth. And I am convinced that a church will not survive without a strong, cohesive congregation. And we will continue to be just that, because when we cease being that type of congregation, then we will cease to be blessed as a church. And just as our church cannot be all things to all people, I too, as your pastor, cannot be all things to all people. I have my strengths and I have my weaknesses. I wish I could do more things better and more consistently, such as visiting and making phone calls and writing cards, etc., etc. And maybe in the future that will come about. But I know the calling the Lord has placed upon me, and that calling is to preach and to teach the Word of God. I know that is my gift, and I know that that is my strength that I use here at this church. My primary passion is for the lost, because I too was once lost and am now found. And my desire is to see others found and come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior, as I have. And because of this, another passion that I have is for the truth. The truth matters. You will always find that tagline, "The Truth Matters," every week in the bulletin, and it's on our church website. I have a tremendous concern for the purity of the truth that I teach in Bible doctrine and in theology. And James 3:1 says that teachers of Scripture will be judged more strictly. I had better get this right. I preached my first sermon here in this church on October 21st, 2007. I am in my 10th year here at Beech Grove Church. I have preached 433 sermons, this being the 434th. I managed to stay awake and pay attention throughout all of them. I have preached 48 different sermon series, and I have preached through the New Testament twice, once in 2012 and once in 2014. Do I remember everything from all my sermons? No, and neither do you. Have I ever preached the same sermon twice? No, I've preached bits and pieces of them, yes, but never the exact same sermon. Have I ever preached someone else's sermon? No. Have I ever bought any sermons from someone else? No. Do I get sermon ideas from other pastors? Absolutely. That's called research, and I do it every week. Every bulletin sermon note from every sermon is on our church website, and most of the sermons that I've preached over the years are in audio format on the church website, so anyone can listen to them or download them at any time. About my preaching theology. I preach Reformed theology, the theology developed by the Protestant reformers of the 16th and 17th centuries. I am a Calvinist. I preach the 5 points of Calvinism, the TULIP, T-U-L-I-P. T, I believe in total depravity. U, I believe in unconditional election. L, I believe in limited atonement. I believe in irresistible grace. And P, I believe in the perseverance of the saints. I may be a Calvinist, but at times I preach like an Arminian. I preach John 3:16, that whoever believes in Christ shall not perish, but have eternal life. I preach Romans 10:13, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I preach 2 Peter 3:9, that God does not want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Yes, as a Calvinist, I believe God chooses only his elect for salvation. But I also preach that the invitation to salvation is open to everyone. These two things are what the Bible teaches. So this is what I teach too. And that, my friends, is called a paradox. Two truths that seem to be teaching exact opposites. But I'll let God resolve those things and the tension that it causes in our little finite minds. I preach a God-centered theology. Theology that's focused on honoring God and never honoring or elevating man. 1 Corinthians 2:16 tells us that a Christian has the mind of Christ. So over the years, it has been my mission to get us all to begin thinking like Christ and to cease thinking like human beings. And I know that can be tough, but it is our journey. Romans Chapter 12, verse 2 commands us not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So it is imperative that we allow the Word of God to mold our thoughts and not allow the world to mold our thoughts, or allow the world or even our feelings to mold our thoughts. I have many responsibilities as your pastor, and I'll keep this brief, and I'll keep it fairly generic. I am responsible to you, but I am not responsible for you. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 says this about pastors. He gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Did you catch that? The reason for these people, for pastors and teachers? For the equipping of the saints. Who are the saints? Yes, I know that they're a professional football team based out of New Orleans, Louisiana. But that's not the saints I'm talking about. Saints are believers, and believers make up the body of Christ. When we assemble here on a Sunday morning for a Sunday service school or for preaching, it is my job to equip the believer, the saint, you, with the teaching, the rebuking, the correcting, and the training that the scriptures provide. Listen carefully to what I'm about to say, because I don't want you to get this wrong. It is not my job on a Sunday morning to cater to the unbeliever. Beech Grove Christian Church is not a seeker-sensitive church. Now, allow me to explain all that. There is no doubt that churches, including us here at Beech Grove Christian Church, have unbelievers attending their services on any given Sunday morning. I realize that. But here's where I need to go with this. I will not soften, and I will not water down the truths of this book, this Bible, to make the unbeliever who may be present feel comfortable or complacent in their sin. If the unbeliever hears something that he or she finds offensive, that unbeliever is going to do one of three things. Either one, they will leave when the service is over and they will never come back. Two, they will continue to attend that church or here at Beech Grove, and they will hope that I never speak on that topic of disagreement ever again. Or three, that unbeliever will be convicted of the truth, and the truth will set them free. Either way, my mission as your pastor is not to cater to the unbeliever. We do that outside the walls of this church. My job is to equip the saints for every good work. My job is to cater to the believer. And either way, I'm going to rest on Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, which says this: am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. And I stand on those words. So, what are my sermon plans for 2017? Well, first, over the next couple weeks, I will conclude the sermon series on the gospel that we started back in the fall. And after that, I plan to do something slightly different. A member of this church has suggested to me a sermon series. And the suggestion that they gave me was this: Mike, how can I apply the Ten Commandments to my life? Could you do a sermon series on that? Well, what this person is asking is for me to preach more application-oriented and more practical than theological. Well, I prefer theological, but I have accepted their challenge. So that is where we will go. After our series on the gospel, we will do a series on the Ten Commandments. That series will be very practical, and it will be very application oriented. Ten Commandments. Sounds like a 10-week sermon series, right? Ten Commandments, 10 weeks. It will at least be a 10-week sermon series. I promise that. Beech Grove, I cannot tell you what will happen to the world, to our country, or even to Christianity over the next year. But I can tell you what will happen here at Beech Grove Christian Church. I will continue to preach the truth of the Word of God, and you will continue to be the wonderful, giving people that you are. And we are all going to watch God work in the lives of those who are touched by our influence. So please, invite your friends here. Please, share your faith out there. There are lives to be touched, and God is going to use us to do that. 2017 is going to be another great and blessed year for us here at Beech Grove Church. Let's go to God in prayer.